His voice, and when He speaks, my heart doth rejoice, I promise you. And I thank the Lord for a God who wants to talk to His people. It still astounds me, still amazes me. It did the psalmist and many others throughout the Bible. And realizing, recognizing who God is and the fact that He knows where we're at out here in the country. He's very much aware of us. And He doesn't just go to the big church uptown, but He comes here, and I rejoice in that. And He doesn't just come here, but He'll come to your house or your car or there at the workplace, and I bless His name for that. I've enjoyed the singing and enjoyed the service, and I appreciate the Lord just being able to be here. Something on your heart, just pressing real hard, anybody? All right, Psalm 95, Psalm 95. Worship's one of those subjects that the more I learn, the more I realize I know nothing. And I am convinced more than ever that the Lord desires us to worship Him. And I say this selfishly, I say this on our behalf, but it's still biblical. We need to learn how to worship, probably more than ever, because we need what worship accomplishes. I'll try my best not to deal with that so much tonight, because my heart's in a different direction. I'm going to try to stay in the vein of thought. And, I hope I didn't bring my shotgun tonight. I guess we'll find out. My heart has been directed toward the thought of worship, what it is, how do we do it. The psalmist here in Psalm 95 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King over all gods." He's just talking about who God is and what He is. Revelation says that they were worshiping Him because of who He was, but also because of what He had done. Psalmist is doing the same. "In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and in His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." In these verses, we find that the psalmist is admonishing us and himself to worship, to get a fresh view of God, to gaze upon Him. And as a result of seeing Him, we worship. Through these verses and many other verses, we find that the Lord is pleased by us worshiping. If you've ever worshiped, I thought about this just a second ago. If you have truly worshiped, you know it pleases Him because of the effect it has on you. True worship makes a difference in the worshiper. For He, God, receives that worship, and He, in turn, will stir you. It is as though you can, if you're really worshiping, really in contact, really connected, it is as though you can sense His pleasure, His approval. I have mentioned that worship is something that is personal, me and you, personally, one-on-one with Him. Just you, just Him. And worship is something that is public, even though it's personal. He says, Let us come. Let us sing. It's something that's to be done in public. It's something that is proper. It is the right thing. And no matter what, no matter who, we are to worship. Then that worship is passionate. It is from the heart. It is from within. It is releasing that is within us. Could I mention tonight that worship is something that is pleasing? It pleases the Lord when we worship Him. I know God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, that Spirit, but I believe He smiles when we worship Him. I believe it brings Him pleasure. It's pleasure. It's pleasing. He enjoys it. Could I say first, worship pleases the worshiped. The one who is worshiped. I mean, He likes it. He enjoys. He desires worship. He desires us to open our heart and express worship and praise. Jesus said it like this: the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He's seeking. You seek for something you desire. You look for something. You go after something you desire. And He desires worship. He wants to be worshiped. Now understand, He's right to desire that. We in our flesh, the best we can do, we still do not deserve any praise. We do not deserve any accolade. We don't deserve anything. But He does. And in His desire to be worshiped, He is right because of who He is and what He's done. Worship is something that pleases. It worships the one, it pleases the one who is worshiped. He says, my Father's seeking someone who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for someone. Again, we seek after something we desire. The implication is, I seek for it. When I find it, I find pleasure in it. It's something I've sought for. It's something I've looked for. It's something I've longed for. And seeking those who worship Him implies when we do, it brings Him pleasure. You want to make God smile? Worship Him as He desires. The Song of Solomon. Oh, such an intimate book. But it has a spiritual tale, a spiritual significance. And the Shunammite woman is quoting in the Song of Solomon chapter 2. And she's quoting what her beloved has said. And here's what he says about her. Well, some of you women like to hear this probably. Oh, my dove. You'd fall over dead away if he said that to you now probably. And the end of the words, he says this: let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. He says, I just want to be with you. I enjoy our time together. Here's what he's saying: it pleases me when you're close. And I just hear your voice. I believe that's what the Lord's saying. In fact, that's the exact thing that verse implies. He's pleased. He enjoys us coming to Him. If you will, it is as though lovers are coming together in an intimate way. It is as though husband and wife are coming together in an intimate way. Oh, so personal. So loving. So close. And he says, I want that. I don't want you to be a robot. I don't want to be a dictator. I don't want to be your boss just barking out commands. I want us to be close. And when we are, When you express your worship to me, it pleases me. It pleases the one who is being worshiped. He desires worship. Hey, he loves us all. Everybody here he loves. I'm kind of glad. I'm glad he loves me. I know me pretty good. And I ain't too loving. I'm not too lovable, but he loves me anyway. He loves us all, but hey, he's not pleased with us all. And worship is a means whereby we can please him. One thing for him to love me, something else for him to be pleased with me. And worship is a means whereby he can be pleased with us. He desires worship. Could I say he deserves worship? He is the only one worthy of worship. Now, tonight God is looking for some servants. He is looking for some people who will serve him with all their heart. He's looking for somebody. He desires some people who will give their all. Brian mentioned that in his last point about being holy this morning. It costs everything. It costs everything. When you do that, you have nothing left. It bankrupts you. God longs for people who will serve him with all their heart. But service without worship displeases him. He's not looking for a robot. I'll say it again. He's not looking for somebody to report for duty. He's not looking for somebody to stamp his time clock and do what he says today because God said to, and if he doesn't, he'll be mad at me, and I've got to, it's my duty, I must. Oh, hey, he wants us to serve him with all of our heart, but he wants us to do it from a heart of love. Love expresses worship. When we worship, it's from a heart of love. And God not only wants us to serve him with all of our hearts, he wants us to worship him with all of our hearts. You see, it's my love. If I worship him right, that's coming out. It's my appreciation that's coming to the surface. It's my gratitude for who he is and what he's done. And that's more than just, you've been good, you're a good dictator, you didn't kill me today. Oh, no. Worship is an expression of a heart of love. He desires that, and he deserves that. He is pleased when we worship. Service without worship is tedious. Serving the Lord without worship is monotonous and difficult and hard and trying and wearisome. I have come to this conclusion. There have been some Christian folks who have served the Lord with all their heart, but they never learned to worship, and their service became a burden, and their place of service became a weight. And it came to the point where they got burnt out because they were serving and serving and doing and doing and going and serving, but they never learned how to worship. And their service became tedious, monotonous, wearisome, burdensome, and some have even quit. And the reason is they served, but they didn't worship. Worship is an expression. Worship is me releasing my heart to him. Worship is us seeing him as he is. And that's what he desires. That's what he deserves. I'm talking tonight about worship pleases him. And I believe I understand a little bit. For when we are worshiping him, when we worship him rightly, in that moment of time, we are truly submitted to his spirit, truly yielded to him, truly open to him. It is our hearts yielded to the Holy Spirit who enables us to worship. No wonder he is pleased with that. No wonder that makes him smile. No wonder could he use the word that makes him happy. He desires those. He's seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth from the heart, with all their heart. And again, when we worship him, we are submitted to the Spirit like no other time in our life. We are submitted to the Spirit like no other time in our lives because we are submitted to him. Only to him. Our attention is focused on him. Now our service, I sure hope we submit to him in our service for him. When you teach a class or sing a song or witness or live right or live your testimony, let's use a Sunday school class. You've studied and prayed all week. You stand before the class and you say, Lord, use me. I submit to you to use me for them. But your attention is not only on him. Your attention is on them, rightly so. Rightly so. And you are submitted to him, but you're focused on them, rightly so. But when we worship, we're not focused on anybody, any need, any obligation, any service. We're focused on him, submitted to him completely. No wonder that pleases him. His desire is for his people to submit to him, right? His desire is for us as his people to be submitted to him. And there's never a time in our lives when we're more submitted to him than when we're worshiping rightly. No wonder he's pleased with that. No wonder that pleases him. Because we are doing exactly what he wants us to do. I have just about come to this conclusion. For those who know him, His utmost desire is that we learn to worship him rightly. That's a big statement. Now, I'm telling you, when you think of all that's involved with our lives and all the service and all the obligation and all the duty and all the living right and doing right and don't do this and don't do that. I mean, with all that's involved with the Christian life, to be able to say, and I think rightly say, the utmost desire of the Lord or his people is to worship him. Hey, listen, he can find servants. He can find somebody to do something, and we were supposed to do it. I didn't preach that before. But he's looking for somebody. He said, I'm seeking for them. I'm looking for them. Implies they ain't just everywhere. There's not an abundance. He said, I'm seeking. I'm looking for those who will worship me with all their heart. That pleases me. Says the Lord, I'm no man, is pleasing to the one who is worshiped. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe it's biblical. Pleasing him ought to be our ultimate goal. Pleasing him ought to be the number one thing of our lives. Whatever it takes to please him, we ought to find out and get to doing it. Serving him pleases him. Living right pleases him. Saying no to sin pleases him. But I want to tell you, worshiping him pleases him. And we ought to realize the importance. We ought to worship him not just because he'll bless us. You do know he does that, right? I'm kind of getting hidden there. I kind of noticed that a little bit tonight. When we start worshiping and he starts moving, I can sense it. He likes it. I can tell. I can tell heaven's a little different down here on earth when we got to worshiping. Even just a little bit tonight. But we're to worship not because he'll bless us if we do. I'm glad he does. I believe he does. I believe it pleases him so much, he will bless us when we worship. But we shouldn't do it to get the blessing, because that gets our mind off of the worship of him and on the blessing. We're not seeking him, we're seeking his blessing. He gives us a bunch of good stuff. And when we worship him, we get some of that good stuff. But worship isn't for the good stuff, it's toward him. Again, worship is opening our heart up to him. submitting to the Holy Spirit inside. It is as though the Holy Spirit speaking to the Holy Father. I like getting in the middle of that. Boy, I like that. It pleases Him. I'll get ahead of myself. It pleases me. I'm telling you, worship is something that is pleasing. You shouldn't try to worship Him just because you want to be blessed. You wives, how'd you like... Now, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not saying anything crude. Don't you get ahead of me here at all. If your husband only approached you when he's wanting something, and I mean you'd cook breakfast, shine his shoes, or go start the car in the morning because he's too lazy to go out in the cold, or what if he never approached you? What if he never smiled at you? What if he never said, you sure are pretty today? You smell good today. I love you. What if he never said any of that, never approached you at all unless he's wanting something? You can get tired of that pretty quick. And if I just approach God, even in trying to worship, just because I want to be blessed, you understand what I'm trying to say? God's very careful with His blessings, by the way. I've said it before. God's not like the circus clown just casting out the candy, throwing it everywhere. He don't care who gets it. Some it fall on the street, nobody ever picks it up. Little kids get it. Old mean men get it. Big fat women get it. Excuse me. I mean, everybody gets it. Clown don't care. He just throws out candy everywhere. God doesn't dispense His grace like that and His goodness like that. He's very careful with His blessings. But when we worship Him rightly, He's pleased. And He'll bless us. I'm talking about worship is something that is pleasing. It pleases the one who is worshiped. I'll say this and I'll try and move on. It's the right thing to do. I'm talking about why does it please Him? Because we're focused on Him. We're surrendered to the Holy Spirit inside our heart from inside's open in Him. We're expressing thanks and praise and worship to Him. We're acknowledging Him. It pleases Him. We're serving Him, but we're more than just serving Him. We're worshiping Him. All that pleases Him, but it pleases Him because it's the right thing to do. Doing the right thing always pleases God. Let me move on. Hey, I'm talking about worship is something that is pleasing. It pleases the one that is worshiped. It pleases the one that is worshiping. You ever been touched by a good God when you was worshiping? You ever, when you worship Him, sense Him touching you back? Sense the approval, the pleasure? Have you received His blessings from worshiping? Have you ever worshiped Him and be blessed in the process? Oh, worship is something that is pleasing. It pleases the one who is worshiped, but it pleases the one who is worshiping. It pleases me. It blesses me. Hey, He smiles and so do I. He's pleased and so are we when we worship right. It's something that pleases. Listen to the psalmist. Psalm 84, 1 and 2. How amiable are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He says, how amiable are Thy tabernacles. It literally means loved. You know what He's saying? I love to go to church. I just love it. I can't wait till it's church time. Because when I go to church, I get to worship God. And I like it. I like it. It pleases me. I enjoy it. I have a good time when I go to church and worship Him. Hey, worship pleases Him, but it pleases us. It'll bless you. It'll bless me. It'll help us. Psalm 84, verse 3 says, yea, the sparrow have sought in the house. Excuse me. The sparrow have found in the house, and a swallow a nest for herself. where she may lay her young, thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He's going right on talking about the tabernacle. He says, those birds have learned. They built their nest under the leaves, the eaves of the buildings, and they got a safe place. They're in the tabernacle. They're at the temple later on, and they're at the house of God anywhere. He said, them birds, those little mamas, find that place at the tabernacle. And they found a place for herself and then to build a nest for her young. You know what that's saying? The house of God is good for you and your youngins and your grandyoungins. He says, if a bird has got sense enough to go to a place where they can feel at home and feel rest and be at peace and find safety. If a bird's got enough sense that the God of this house will protect me, I'm going there. We ought to have the same sense. I'm telling you, real worship will please the worshiper. I'm trying to say this. You can't beat a church that worships. Go ahead and get your flash. Go ahead and get your bright lights. Go ahead and get your loud music. Go ahead and get you all the excitement. Get all the entertainment. Put it on TV. Get all the flash. Dim the lights and get the red and blue lights in. Get your rock bands. Get you all that mess. Go ahead and do it. I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing going to beat a good old-fashioned church that worships. Somebody should have said amen there. You go ahead and say amen now. Give me one by... whatever, owe me one. Say amen. I don't care if you believe it almost. I just want to hear you say amen. We're living in a day when people are looking for flash and excitement and thrill and big. I want to tell you something. A church that knows how to worship has got something that no other church with the flash can ever even dream about. I want to tell you something. It'll work. When a church learns how to worship, when people learn how to worship, it not only pleases Him, it'll please those that's involved. I got saved when I was just barely 20 years old. I came out of a life of nothing. You just have to say, from daylight to dark, it was excitement from the world. I got saved. And I went to a church eventually that had a touch of God. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing better on earth than a church with a touch of God, with people who know how to worship, who express their hearts and worship God like they ought to and likes pleasing to Him. I'm telling you, I'm talking about it pleases you. I'm talking about it pleases you when you worship like you ought to, when we worship like we should. We are pleased ourselves. I'll say it again, a church that truly worships cannot be beat. By the way, we are not a playground. We are not training Cub Scouts or athletes. We're a church. By the way, I'm all right with activities. I'm not preaching against that. I'm saying if we don't know how to worship, our activities are useless. I'd love to raise some young people. I'd love to see some of us older folks. I'd like to see some of the middle-aged people worship God. Boy, I tell you what, it'll make a difference in our lives. I'd love to see some young people. I'd love to see some of us old people learn how to worship God like we are, like we should be. I want to tell you something, it'll make a difference in our lives. It'll make a difference in this church. It pleases Him, but it'll please us. The psalmist said, I can't wait to get to church. I love church. Why do you think he meant that? Why do you think he was hungry for church? Because when he went there, he could worship. He said it like this, Psalm 84:4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still praise thee. Selah. Think about that. Blessed are the ones that dwell. sometimes we come to church, and you may say it right out loud. Hope you don't do it while I'm listening, because it sure would be hard on me. Sometimes I'd say it, but don't say it around me. Sometimes we come to church and we'll leave and say, I didn't get a thing. Well, what did you add? What did you bring? Did you come in excited? Did you come in expecting? Had you prayed? Had you looked toward the Lord? Had you been worshiping on God all week? And the Lord was just pulling your heart and you came in, I just can't wait to get to church. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, it's time to go to church. See, I'm saying, when we worship Him, it pleases Him. And that pleases us. But if we don't really hunger for church, it's a good sign we probably don't worship when we come here. You getting what I'm saying? Oh, it's pleasing to Him. It's pleasing to Him. I said it again. The psalmist said, I was glad. That literally means glee. He was beside himself. He's probably acting plumb weird. Because he wanted to get to church where he could worship the Lord. How long's it been since you were thrilled? How long's it been since you had a case of the can't help it? How long has it been since your boss got turned over and you rejoiced and worshiped, praised God with all your heart? I guess a more potent question is, have we ever? I'm telling you, it pleases us. The psalmist said, I can't wait to get to church. A lot of reasons. Part of the reasons was because when I get there, I can worship. And I'll say it again, I'm trying to hush. If we don't worship here, we probably aren't worshiping out there. You can reverse that. If we're not worshiping out there, we probably won't worship here. How many times this last week? I've been preaching on worship. Was this the fourth time? I wonder this last week, how many times has it crossed our minds? How many times have we worshiped on purpose this last week? On purpose. I'm telling you, worship pleases Him. And since it pleases Him, He'll make sure it pleases us. He'll bless us when we worship Him. He'll turn the honey bucket over every once in a while. I'll say it again, not just in church. Remember this morning, John on the Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. Let me close with this. It don't really fit, but I'm going to edge her in anyway. I guess it does with fit. Because I'm talking about worship pleases Him and it pleases us. Do you know, though, that worship defends you? I mean, worship protects you. When you're in a battle, one of the greatest forms of artillery, one of the greatest weapons you can use against the devil, against defeat, against depression, against discouragement, worship. Listen to what the psalmist said. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Not out there in the field of clover. Thou preparest a table before me, something I can feast on, something I can enjoy. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In the presence of His enemies, God just fills His cup up to where it runs over. I want to tell you something. When you're going through a battle, stop looking at your problems. Stop trying to fight against the devil for a moment. Stop trying to figure out some way to get through. Stop worrying about how bad it is. Stop trying to say, Lord, why are you letting me go through this? For a moment, for a while, stop it all and worship Him. I want to tell you something. You know what you'll find out? First, you'll find out that it pleases Him. He's smiling when you're worshiping. And you'll find out, secondly, it pleases you. Because He'll nudge you back. He'll nudge you back. When we please Him, He's going to please us. I'm done. Mindy, come ahead. I believe the Lord is nudging us.